I just want to thank everybody today for coming out. I count it an honor and a privilege and a blessing to be able to stand before you today and bring what I feel like God has shared with me for several weeks and the things that he's given me. Father, I just pray right now. Lord, I ask a special anointing to fall in this place today. Lord, not my words, God, but your words. Lord, that we would realize, God, that we have to take things by force. We cannot let the enemy bully us around any longer. And Father, I just pray for that anointing in the name of Jesus. Amen. Take it by force. I've been yelling and making announcements for several weeks about taking it by force. And we as women and mothers and wives and grandmothers are the ones that take the stress and the care and the worry of our whole family. I'm not saying the men don't, but you talk to a mama. They're always concerned about their children, their grandchildren, their husbands, their family. They're always worried about something. And we have walls, and I built a wall today that we don't know what to do with. We've got walls in our life that we don't want anybody to touch, not even God. So we let these walls build up, and we think, there's no way these walls are ever going to come down. And we pray, and we beg God, and we make promises to God, and we're never going to keep the promises that we say we'll do. We won't do it. God, if you'll save my daughter, if you'll save my son, I'll go to church. And we make promises that we absolutely cannot keep. But you know what? He says, I don't want you to make a promise. I want you to pray and trust me. I want you to stand and stand firm. We must get to a point in our lives and in our prayer lives that no matter what, I will not stop. I will not give up. And I will take this by force. Devil, you're not going to have my family. And I've told you the story about our son. He's a good kid. Good kid. We stepped out of the ministry for our children because they had been hurt. And we said, we'll back off. We'll take a back seat. We'll raise these kids. And we did that. And we stood back for 15 years. And I watched the enemy try to destroy my son, try to take him down. And I would get in the devil's face, and I got loud. And you know I can pray loud. And I'd get in that devil's face, and I'd say, you're not having my kid. I have fought for him. I gave him back to you. You gave him to me, and you're not having my kid. And then things would go great. And then he would act stupid again. And then I'd say, devil, you're not having my youngin today. And this went on forever. But you know what? One day, Daddy had already had it. And I guess Mama had just got to her tipping point, and I looked at him and I said, you get your stuff and you get out of my house now. And he looked at me like, she ain't playing. I said, if you're going to do that, you're going to live like that, you're not staying in this house. This is the house of sanctuary. This is where we worship. This is where we live. This is God's house. And you're out of here. And from that point on, there was a big change. But I had to take it by force. Did I want to put my kid on the road? No. Did I want to send him to some crazy girl? No. But I had to take a stand and say, listen, no more. I'm done. And you're done, buddy. When Mama says, get out, I think he realized I done barked up the wrong tree. I better straighten up. And thank God for that, because I decided to take it by force. We have to make that decision to begin to pray with force. And the enemy will use things in our past against us. He'll bring up things. Even when you're praying, I'll be in the living room and I'll go, man, look at the dust under that TV. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. And then I'll start praying again. Oh, I need to go online to Walmart and go ahead and order this for my groceries. The enemy will do everything in his power to distract you. You know what? Get you a pad and write down, thank you for bringing that to my mind. I'll take care of that later. Don't let him stop you. You just begin to continue to pray and pray and pray, and you seek him, and you do everything in excellence with him. Most of us, me included, I'm preaching to me, we say, Lord, save my family, meet my needs. I really need this, and I could use help in this area. And there's nothing happens. And what do we say? I'm over it. I'm tired of praying. I've been praying for this for 100 years. I've been praying for a raise. I've been praying for a job change. My kid's getting worse. My husband's getting worse. And we give up right before the miracle is fixing to happen. We just throw up our hands and say, I'm done. Right before one of those bricks come off your wall. Right before it. We have to begin to remember that God has the answer, and the answer is there. We need to listen. We need to seek his face. And I am a big advocate of putting on some worship music. Whatever kind of worship music, get that atmosphere in that house moving. You know, you can clean a house pretty fast when you got worship music going. And you get tired, you just sit down and you just worship the Lord. And me and the Lord, we have some good talks cleaning the bathroom. I'm on the back of the lawnmower, man, I can talk to him. But there, we have to make a stand. We have to say, stand our ground, and we have to begin to worship him. And then we have to start thanking him for the answer. Thank you, Lord. I see my child coming home. Thank you, Lord, for that new job. I know I got a new job. I know I've got a raise coming. Thank you, Lord. And today I have quite a few scriptures. If you brought your Bible, that's good. If not, that's good too. I'm going to read them to you anyway. We must travail. And I want you to look at, in Luke, the woman with the issue of blood. Now, this woman, chapter 8, had an issue of blood for 12 years. Now, Pastor just left the room so I can say this. That's gross. Well, I know we hate it, being women. It's terrible. But for 12 years, you're dealing with that stuff day in and day out. She's spending her life savings going from doctor to doctor, trying to figure out what is wrong with her. No physician could help her. She said in verse 43, said the chapter 8, verse 43, it says, and a woman having an issue of blood for 12 years had spent all of her livings upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. And it came behind him and touched the border of his garment, the bottom of the hem of his garment. That says to me there was a lot of people there. And she said, if I have to crawl on my belly, I'm going to touch the hem of his garment because I heard he heals. When's the last time we got down in prayer on our bellies and groveled and prayed and said, I'm not getting up until you touch me? When is the last time we done that? And Jesus said, who touched me? And his great disciple said, what are you talking about? There's 10,000 people here. Too many people touched you. No, somebody touched me, he said. He said, I know that they touched me because I could feel virtue leave my body. And he said again, who touched me? And can you imagine? She went, I did. And he said, thy faith has made you whole. And he healed her. Are we willing to get down and crawl on our hands and knees and say, Jesus, touch me. Hebrews 4. I had to mark them with paper so I could find them. In Hebrews 4, 15 and 16, it says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted just like you and me. And he said, without sin. And then he said in verse 16, I love it, let us therefore come boldly. Don't just step up there and say, hey, God, I need help. Come boldly before him. And he will find the grace to help us in the time of need.
Pearl, you okay? Okay.
Matthew 15:22. It says, and a woman, a Canaan woman, came. And this passage of scripture kind of makes me feel sad for this lady. She's really ignored by Jesus, big time. He says, go away. Just go away. I don't have time for you. But you know what? Her daughter was sick. She was vexed with the devil. And she said, I got to get to him. He's got to touch my daughter. He didn't answer her, and the disciples said, make her go away, go away. She's bothering us. And then he looks at her and says, in verse 26, it says, and he answered, it is not meant to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And he said, and she said, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And then Jesus said to her, O woman, great is thy faith. Go, your daughter is healed. They're pushing through. They're not giving up. They're standing their ground. They're taking it by force. They're saying, I got to have an answer. I've got to hear something from you today. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, it says, we walk in the flesh, and we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but the mighty through God to the pulling down of the strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought into obedience. We have to cast those things down. We have to be loosed. We have to take these walls that we've built up and we have to cast them down. We have to be willing to shake off our grave clothes. We have to be willing to do that to have the victory. And 2 Kings, you got Naaman. Now he needed healing. And the prophet sent word by Elisha. The prophet didn't come out. He sent word. Go tell him to dip in the Jordan River 7 times. And what did he do? Instead of just going, isn't there another river I could dip in? That one's kind of nasty. And he didn't even come out and tell me. He sent his servant. What am I? We get like that sometimes. But you know what? His servant said to him, if he asked you to do something great, would you have done it? And Naaman said, yeah. So he goes and he dips. And I don't remember if you remember this song from Children's Church. And he dipped, 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 and he came up clean. Why? Because he was obedient and had faith. Yeah, there was other rivers there that were probably cleaner. But the servant said, go dip in the Jordan. Sometimes God tells me to do things that I don't want to do. And I go, God, was that you? If you'll have the preacher scratch his head 3 times on the right side, then I'll know I'm supposed to do that. And then he does it, and you go, no, God, I need another sign. Because we're scared. We're scared to step out. We're scared we're going to be wrong. But wouldn't you like to say, you know, and when God tells me to do something, I usually say, listen, I feel like this is what God's telling me. And if I missed it, I'm sorry. But I really feel like this is what God's telling me for you or for that situation. And I would rather, I don't like to go home and feel guilty for not doing what God told me to do. Because then I have to come back and I have to apologize and admit that I was wrong and I didn't do what I was supposed to do. So it's always better to step out in faith and do what he's asked us to do. Each of us, in these verses, it talks about having faith. And it talks about having great faith. Are we willing to do whatever the Father tells us to do to get our answer? In Ephesians 6:13, it says, putting on the whole armor of God, not half of it. When you go to battle, they don't go half armored up. They put on the whole armor of God. And it says, when you've done everything, when I've done all, what do? You stand. You say, you lay it out there for the devil and you say, listen, I've done everything God's asked me to do. Now I'm going to wait. And I'm going to stand. We have to stand and believe. What about Jacob in Genesis 32? Jacob needed a blessing. And what happened? He wrestled with an angel all night. When is the last time we wrestled with the Lord for something all night? I can tell you it's been a long time. That he got down and he says, I will not let go of you till you bless me. And they said, well, the sun's coming up. We got to go. He said, I will not let go till you bless me. And then, you know what? He said, okay, you're going to get it. And when he got up, he walked, because his hip was messed up. He walked with a limp and he got a new name. Are we willing to wrestle God to get this wall down? Even if we do get up and walk with a limp, and get a new name. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to let the anointing break the yoke? Are we willing to be crushed like the grapes have to be crushed for grape juice? Like the olives that have to be pressed and crushed for the oil? The good stuff comes out of crushing. Are we willing for that? Are we willing to be put on the thrashing floor and be crushed and crushed and crushed? Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to do that so our wall will come down? Are we just for a few minutes? I don't want just a few to come down. I want them all to come down. In Isaiah 59:19, it says, the enemy shall come in like a flood. Comma. You say, what? He didn't say he came in as a flood. He said, like a flood. Comma. The comma is a break. Take a breath. Breathe. After the comma, this is the great thing. It says, I've got to find my scripture. Thought I had flipped there. Sorry. Okay, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, comma, the Spirit of the Lord shall. You know what shall means? He's going to do it. No maybe. He's going to do it. Shall lift up a standard against him. So when we've done all we can do, we stand. And then we go, you know what, devil, you think it's a flood. You think it is. You're trying to make me think it's a flood in my life, but it's not. It's just a little stream. The Word of God is going to come in. The Spirit is going to lift up a standard against him. The thing that stops us a lot of time is our doubt and unbelief. Have we been praying forever and say, God's never going to answer. We have fear. What is God going to ask us to do? And we must begin to worship him, like I said, and thank him for the answer. Because I'm going to tell you something. He said he's going to show up. He's going to show up. And when he shows up, he shows out. He does it, and he does it right. In the midst of a storm, he will show up. He says, calm the seas. In the boat, what happened? There's a storm. The disciples are all upset because he's sleeping. And all he had to do was raise his hand. See, be still. And it was calmed. Luke 11:10 says, you ask, you receive. You seeketh, you find. You knocketh, and it shall be open. And in Joshua 6:5, before the wall came down, there was a burst of the ram's horn. There was a sound of the trumpet. And then it says, all, that means you, shall shout with a great shout. And then what happened? The wall. So you got to shout. You got to make some noise. You got to make up your mind. My living room is holy ground. Take off those shoes and worship Him and thank Him. Knock those walls down. We need to start believing and begin to shout the victory. Walk in believing and saying, it's done. It's done. And when He says it's finished, it's finished. You may look at me and say, lady, you are crazy. I am. I'll admit to that. I'm very crazy, but I am so crazy about Jesus. I got just enough sense to say, you know what? If this word says He'll do it, then why won't He do it today? And you know what? He wants to. He wants to do it today. I am believing for this church, miracles are going to start taking place. I'm believing for a healing for John. Healing in the body, the restoration of the liver and the kidneys and those eyes. I'm believing for that. And you say, well, what if it don't happen? What if it don't? He goes to heaven. Then he gets his ultimate healing. And I used to say, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God about that. You know what? When I get to heaven, I'm not going to be worried about it. It won't matter then. I don't understand why. I don't have the answers why. I don't know why God answers some prayers instantly and some prayers it takes forever. I don't know. I don't know why He answers the way He answers. I don't have that. I just know that He said He would do it. And if they had the faith, and you know, from what I read in here, they were just ordinary people. It was a woman with an issue of blood. It was a lady who had a daughter that was sick. It was a man who had leprosy that needed to go dip into the water. Just common, everyday people like me and you. And if God did it for them, He will do it for us. He will do it. I want us to close our eyes. And I want us to think about your situation. Are we willing to really do whatever God asks us to do? We have walls. And one brick comes down one day, and we put another one up the next. And then we see a victory. And then the wall gets higher, and we say, God, You can't do that. And He says, yes, I can. You watch. I need to know today if you have something in your life that you need help that we can pray with you about. If you do, I want you to lift your hands. I'm not going to embarrass you by no means. I just want to pray for you. We all have battles. We all have things in our life. We all have walls. We have circumstances. We have things that we don't understand. I want us just to think about it for a few minutes. Father, I just thank You for these ladies. God, I know that in this house there were many needs, God. And Lord, it is so hard for us sometimes to be able to admit that we have a problem. But God, as we learn to worship You and to thank You and to give You the glory and the praise for what You're going to do, what You already have done. God, look what You've done in our lives already. And Father, I thank You. I thank You for this group of ladies. Lord, I ask that You would touch their lives, that a mighty anointing, God, would begin to flow in their lives, God. Lord, that You would use them in ways that they never imagined, God. Lord, that You would begin to meet the needs in their lives like they never imagined. God, I pray that You begin to show up in their situations, God. Lord, I believe that every step is ordered of You. I believe in divine appointments. And today, God, I believe this was a divine appointment for each and every lady in this place. Oh, Father, I pray a blessing upon them. I pray that as they leave this place, God, that You direct them to their divine appointments this week. God, let them be prayed up and ready to give the word, to give that encouraging word. Sometimes, God, all it takes is a hug and a smile. Father, I thank You and I praise You and I thank You for Your anointing. I thank You, God. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, I worship You. Let's just worship Him for a few minutes. Let's thank Him for what He's going to do. Lord, I thank You for the miracle for John. I thank You for the miracle, God, of these blood pressures that will come down and be stable, Father. I I thank you for that healing in Jesus' name. Oh, God, I thank you right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for the caregivers today, God, that you would touch them. Lord, that you would minister to them, that you would bless them, Father. Oh, God, touch their lives. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. Oh, God, I stand and honor you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, ladies. Had a great turnout today. If there's anything I can ever do for you, please don't hesitate to call me. Prayer, whatever you need, I am here. I love you. Thank you. There is plenty.